won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all the blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
He is.
Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell with us again?
He will.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
He is.
He is. And now here's this video of the song with Andrew Peterson. Great song. I love his line, is it good that we remind ourselves of this? In Kinship, we've been looking at some military strategies and how quickly and easily and closely they relate to this Christian life that we've been called to live. And we remembered, I guess I was mentioning on this past Wednesday night, that John Eldridge, a pastor and writer that we know, has said, we need to remember that we are always at war. We sometimes like to or go into a kind of a lulled mode where we kind of forget that there is a war going on and there's a war for our souls, but there's a war for the souls of all those around us as well. And so I think it's important for us to be reminded that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of all the insanity that is going on around us, that Jesus knew about it, and he told his disciples, you will have trouble. It will be difficult. And so I want us to look at a few passages here this morning of, in the midst of these troubled and troubling times, what's our stand as believers, as those who see what God is about, when we see the kingdom moving forward, and yet here's all this counter stuff happening, and the church, of course, over 2,000 years has been many, many, many times through the difficult, through the dark, through the difficult times, and the persecution, and in many ways, far worse than anything we've experienced. But we need to understand that it's been prepared, God understands, and he is more than enough for what we have to go through. So the first one I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 10, and part of the first part of our stand here is, I've got the word confident. We can be confident when we recognize that things are difficult. And so from the message this morning, I'd like to read this passage out of Matthew 10, 16 through 42. Not 42, I think it's 24. Sorry, there's a typo there. And the worst is, the message version doesn't have verses in it, so it's really awkward to figure out which is which. But anyway, it is Matthew 10. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running around through a wolf pack, so don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake, inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Don't be upset when they haul you before the civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor. given you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And don't worry about what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. When people realize it's the living God you are presenting and not some idol that makes them feel good, they're going to turn on you, even people in your own family. There is a great irony here, proclaiming so much love, experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. It's all well worth it in the end. It is not success you're after in time, in such times, but survival. Be survivors. Before you've run out of options, the Son of Man will have arrived. A student doesn't get a better desk than her teacher. A laborer doesn't make more money than his boss. Be content, pleased even, when you, my students, my harvest hands, get the same treatment I got. If they call me the master, dung face, what can the workers expect? Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. Don't be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in his hands. Not exactly a message that from Jesus that the disciples wanted to get up and dance on. You know, it's like, oh, this is not really what I was hoping for. You know, life was so much better, and I just, the only thing I really had to deal with was the wind, the waves, and fish. But Jesus is at the beginning of this kingdom season that we find ourselves in, warning pretty clearly, and of course this is a message that's a little more updated, but this passage in any other version is every bit as solemn and disconcerting maybe. And so Jesus reminds his disciples that what they've been called to, turning the tide, pushing back the darkness. Remember in John chapter 1, when Jesus came, he came as the light of the world, and the darkness refused to receive it. The darkness, evil, the world system, refused to accept the fact that there was a turning of the tide. And so they pushed back and said, no, we do not want this. Regardless of what it costs, we don't want anybody upsetting our routine, the way things are, the status quo, all of that. And from that day till today, that same pushback is happening on so many levels. And obviously, we have a very privileged position here in the United States. I mean, it's nothing compared to what some countries and some peoples have had to deal with for these 2,000 years. But just so that we understand, these troubled and troubling times are not 21st century problems. These are things that Jesus predicted and used and presented as prophecy to his disciples. And I think they probably, as so often is the case when Jesus spoke to them, because it was unpleasant, they didn't get it. You know, do you remember how many times Jesus said, have I been so long with you and you still don't get this? Like, how do you not understand? And so I'm sure this message was not very comfortable for them, and so they would have preferred to find some other way of figuring it out, or, you know, let's go have a party, let's go have breakfast, you know, something, but let's not really focus too much on this. But Jesus is saying, in the midst of this, you can have confidence. I already saw this. I know this is coming. This is not a shock. This is not like some major thing that happened that we didn't know about. We totally know that this is going to happen, because this is the kind of thing that's been brewing for a long time. And Jesus' arrival is the thing that turned everything on its heels. Everything got turned around, and that's when we began facing the headwinds, and it hasn't stopped. The second thing in Romans chapter 13, I think our position is, and our stand is, that we are actively awake. I feel like I'm stealing all the stuff from Garth, because this is the kind of stuff that we've been talking about for a long time in kinship. But these scripture passages are so powerful when you realize this is not something new. This is not something that nobody else ever understood was coming. So in Romans 13, verses 8 through 14, now it's Paul speaking. He says, don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law code, don't sleep with another person's spouse, don't take someone's life, don't take what isn't yours, don't always be wanting what you don't have, and any other doubt you or don't that you can think of, finally adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. For a century, maybe 30 years into the growth and explosive growth of the church, and they were experiencing some of the ugliest opposition from every quarter, from certainly from their families, especially for Jews who left the synagogue to follow Jesus. They were considered the worst possible things, having left and betrayed everyone. They were basically, if the word excommunicated even existed back then, they would have been. And it goes on to our day. There are lots of people and lots of cultures where coming to Jesus from another religion can cost them their lives and has cost them their lives.
And then you're considered an enemy to Homeland Security. Just wanted to mention that.
Well, yes. Well, we are the domestic terrorists now, so yes, it is definitely coming to us as well. But because this was all, this is all in our scripture. This is all here. This is all a part of the plan. As the kingdom advances, it only advances as it pushes the darkness back. And we're part of that. Pushing back the darkness is not just dusting your dining room table, Pushing back the darkness is not a job for the faint of heart. And so the way we can be confident and the way we are encouraged to be actively awake, and I think when he says his version here, don't lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. One of probably the biggest issues we have in peace times is that we do kind of relax and it's like, oh, well, there's really not much happening. And it's just because we're unaware. And so we need to be paying attention to what is happening around us as God challenges us to stay with him, to dress ourselves in Christ and be up and about. So our lives as believers, every day, 24 hours a day, one of the goals of our lives, our new lives in Christ, is to be about the work of pushing back the darkness within our sphere of influence. The people we meet, the attitudes we have, how we confront the world, how we respond to issues, all of that is helping to push back the darkness. And as we said earlier this morning, we may not notice when those things happen and when the impact really takes place. But that's not our job. Our job is to just be faithful and to be standing up for what God has called us to. So we can be confident, we can be actively awake. And in Ephesians chapter 6, which again we've gone over many times in kinship with this passage about our spiritual warfare, we need to be trained for battle. That's number 3. We need to be trained for battle. We're constantly at war. And so to be unaware is probably the most dangerous thing, and to be unprepared. So if we're unprepared and the battle knocks on our door, it's a little late to be prepared. We need to be ready at all times before that. So in Ephesians chapter 6, this passage 10 to 18, where we talk about the spiritual armor, here in the message, Paul says, God is strong and he wants you strong. Take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll be still on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Again, this ongoing warfare. When it's a beautiful sunny summer afternoon, we think, oh, everything is peaceful and everything is lovely in the natural. But what's going on in the spiritual realm, if we had a glimpse, really, of what was going on in the spiritual realm, it would probably terrify us. Mm-hmm. We might even freak out because it's anything but sunshine and warmth and nice cool breeze. There is a pitched battle. It's always going on. And if it's not going on currently for us, and I think Keith mentioned last week, many of us have had pitched battles in our past and ongoing, some of us, where we just wonder what really is happening. Where is God in the midst of this? And how does this even work? But if it isn't our day to be in that, we still need to understand that the reason we pray is for every one of us who's in a time of peace and security and all is going well, there are others who are going through anything but that. And I especially think in that sense of all our friends in France. You know, there's still an oppressive spirit in France which does not want the body of Christ, does not want the kingdom to push back any of the darkness. Mm-hmm. So we're really in a time of, with our work there, we're really in a time of really upheaval. It's really a difficult thing. And it's underneath the surface, so you can't really pinpoint one specific thing or one specific problem or person or whatever. It's just a general malaise that goes on, and it's really a hard thing. And so there's a lot of suffering going on in France amongst our brothers and sisters because it is not easy. And the enemy uses all kinds of under-the-surface stuff to discourage and to scatter the sheep. And he's currently doing a really good job with that. And so, you know, that's another reason to be in prayer for these people. When it's our turn, we want people to be praying for us as we go through our situation. So not just confident, not just actively awake and trained for battle, but aware and unafraid. Number four, aware and unafraid. You know, it's one thing to be unaware and unafraid, but aware and unafraid is another thing. And so in 2 Timothy 3, these last five verses, again, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Paul, first century, to his spiritual son, Timothy. Wow. Does this sound like something that could be in today's newspaper? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is our constant reality. And so we experience God's love. And it's good to remind ourselves that he is worthy, He is the lamb who was slain. He is David's root. He is the one who was worthy to break the seal and open the scroll, as Revelation 5 says. But we need to make sure that as we walk, that we are not the contentious ones, that we're not adding to the problem, that we're not pouring fuel on the fire, because we have confidence that God is in charge, that he loves us, he's watching over us, he's caring for us. Last month we looked again, because it's one of my favorite passages out of Luke 15 about the prodigal son, and which is more than likely just as easy to call the prodigal father, this one who was lavishly wasteful, reckless even, to use our word this morning, in his love for his wayward son, as God is with us. And there is nothing he won't do to come after us. He's for us. The promise in the end of Matthew, when Jesus is leaving, he says, "And I am with you till the very end of the age." So this promise that as he sends us off into the fight, his provision goes before us. We have his Spirit who gives us discernment. We have his word that reminds us and reassures us and gives us hope and strength again. Keith has talked often about the word encourage, to give us heart again. Yeah. And so I think we can be challenged. We need to be challenged by this, aware that we are at war, but not discouraged and not depressed and not locking all our doors and closing all the windows and all the shades and everything to keep the evil out. You know, I think we need to be the ones, because as long as we do that, as long as we take, as we were talking about in kinship, as we've been taking a defensive position only, we're not pushing the evil back. We need to be on the offensive in the sense of going out and loving regardless of the response, so that we can see darkness push back in our land. But it's not by, as the groups, you probably read the news in Oregon yesterday in Portland, the hate groups gathered and the police had to keep them apart across the river from each other to stop there being major issues. But we have more and more of this coming up, and people are using every excuse to push truth away, to redefine what truth is. So truth is definitely under siege in our day, and our joy, our privilege as believers in the 21st century who have the Holy Spirit, who have God with us, we don't need to be afraid. We can be confident. We can be actively awake. We need to be actively awake. We need to be trained for battle. So another plug for kinship, if you can. And then we need to be aware and unafraid that God is in charge. The end of the story is his. The victory is already won. And it doesn't mean that it's all going to be fun times. But God is in charge, and he is worthy. Yes. One of the reasons I love this song, "Is He Worthy?" is just reminding ourselves again and again, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Does he love us? Yes, he does. And so another way that we need to be prepared, as he said, the Bible in Ephesians 6 in the Message, it says, the word of God is our indispensable, he has that even in italics, our indispensable weapon. The more we spend here, the more time we spend here, the stronger we'll be and the more confident we'll be, and the more the schemes of the enemy will not have success over us. Let's pray. Father, you have shown us that none of these things we experience in our day, the things that shock us, the things that nauseate us, the things that horrify us, none of this is new. None of this is something that wasn't foretold, the things that weren't seen coming down the pike. You saw it, you knew it, you warned your disciples, you warned us through your word. Father, when you come, could we be found standing and alert and confident and filled with joy, singing your praise, because we know you love us and you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're with us till the very end of the age. So even in these troubled and troubling days, you are worthy, and we will sing our praise. You are worthy, whether we understand it, whether we see the end, whether our problems get resolved, you are worthy. And so today, this 18th day of August 2019, we proclaim you are worthy. We celebrate you and we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So...